expectations. Relationships that last years and relationships that last minutes. I'm a big believer in the philosophy of relationship building, of reconciliation, of respecting the dignity of another human being, which is why I try very hard to be especially relationship-minded when I'm making calls to customer service. These are the times that try our souls and rate high among stressful tasks that we'd all just like to avoid. So many of us put it off until it can be put off no longer. But eventually, the hour is upon us. So when the time arrives, I wait till I'm in a pretty zen mood. I make sure I'm well rested, I'm not in a big hurry, maybe grab a quick snack first, just to make sure that the odds of me turning into a crabby she-beast are minimized. I force myself to enter into this moment of potential tension with the most positive frame of mind that I can muster. It's not this person's fault that the internet isn't working, I remind myself. We're on the same team is the message I try to mind beam to the person on the other end of the line. I want me to have working internet, you want me to stop calling you. We want the same thing. How can we accomplish this together? And yet, nearly every time, moments into the conversation, I find myself practically spitting words through gritted teeth. Yes, I understand that, but the computer is plugged in, and so is the router, so can we just get to the part where you say anything remotely useful? Why? Why does this happen? Expectations. I think that's probably it. I think even though I try my best to Pollyanna my way out of this, I just expect deep down that these phone calls will turn into a massive source of frustration. So of course they do. Expectations can determine the whole course of a relationship. You almost have to admire Habakkuk's guts in demonstrating his expectations. He's certainly not shy about it. We're on the same team, God, so why aren't you delivering? He seems to say, O Lord, how long will I cry for help and you will not listen? Here he shows us something astounding about the ancient relationship between the prophets and God. And that is that they have pretty strong expectations of their Lord. Habakkuk is disappointed in God and he's calling God out on it. This demonstrates something pretty serious about the nature of human relationship with God, that we have expectations, and expectations indicate relationship. Think about what a gutsy, audacious, downright saucy thing that is to do, to stare straight up at the heavens and shout to an omnipotent, omniscient force that you think he or she is screwing it up. What gall we humans have. And yet it is planted in each of us to fight this fight, to seek understanding of God and to trust our own understanding and instincts, as if our judgment could be better. And maybe we could draw God's attention to something God might have missed. We expect God to listen. We expect God to care. Certainly, you arrived here this morning with expectations. Maybe they weren't explicitly expectations about God, but we come to church because we expect certain things, and ultimately any expectation of church is expectation of God. Ritual, comfort, community, maybe some light entertainment. Maybe we expect to be cared for, or challenged, or humbled, or reminded. We expect God to deliver. And yet sometimes those expectations are not met. Sometimes we come here and we feel, well, sometimes we don't feel anything. Of course, that might be because the music that day isn't our favorite hymn, or the prayers don't hit home, or the preacher is a little dull. So we're left feeling rather numb, maybe even a bit bored. And that's confusing because, much like dear Habakkuk, if God is God, then we expect results. thankfully. Much of this confusion can be addressed in God's response to Habakkuk's complaints. Be patient. Wait. Simmer down. That is, of course, because expectation is not a one-way street. God's response to Habakkuk demonstrates an expectation of patience, but also an acknowledgement of relationship. It's not about what the expectations are specifically, but rather about the fact that we are allowed to have expectations. We have been created so that we turn to God with high hopes and high standards. Habakkuk's rebuke does not fall on deaf ears, but it also doesn't elicit the easy response Habakkuk might want. It gets at something deeper, that there is a relationship between this creator and these creations called humans, a relationship made all the more tangible by these expectations, and that there is an expectation of honesty over ease. God can take Habakkuk's anger, and God can take your anger too. God might not match our expectations, and we certainly disappoint his expectations of us all too often. But the fact that these expectations remain demonstrates the continued power of that relationship. Disappointment might tempt us to lower our expectations, but God asks that we persist. All God expects is your honesty and fidelity, that you will keep lifting your eyes towards God, and that is exactly what is promised in return. Wait. Be patient. I'm still here. The expectation might not match the reality, but there is something better on the horizon. It's coming. I promise. So expectations are a part of the ancient times, and they arise with us today. So it should be no surprise that we see the plague of expectations swarming Christ's day-to-day life. In Luke's story of Zacchaeus that we all know so well, expectations abound. He was rich, a tax collector. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried down and came, and he received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." He's dining with a sinner. The Messiah we're waiting for is a powerful figure, someone undeniably great. The Messiah I expect would never dine with a sinner or love someone who doesn't look, think, believe, behave, dress, or love exactly like me. No, there's one Messiah for the very small group of people who are doing things right, and those happen to be people who are exactly like me. So what does this Jesus think he's doing? Of course, that would be a false prophet, a savior who only reflects us back to ourselves, but that's not the Christ we see in Scripture. The Christ of Scripture has no patience for our hypocrisy or preconceptions. We can't honestly read Scripture and make Jesus look like us and thank God for it. God could never be so narrow as to only meet our expectations. Our expectations might be that Christ will be like us, but it is Christ's expectation that we will try to be like him. It is wrong for us to let our preconceptions and expectations overrun the deeper truth, a deeper truth about the relationship Zacchaeus had with Christ and the relationship Christ longs to have with each of us. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ doesn't expect that we'll be sin-free, nor that we'll be saints. He expects that we will abandon the world's very narrow definition of what good and right look like, and instead that, like Zacchaeus, we will hurry with great expectations to see him. So let us be like children, or at least very enthusiastic short people. Let us abandon our preconceptions of one another and ourselves, and let us keep from pretending that we can confine Christ with our expectations. Let's instead run as fast as we can, scurry up the nearest tree, and live with joyful anticipation of finding out the wonder beyond our imaginations that God can be. Pray with me. God, we thank you for tolerating our expectations and for exceeding them all. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Now, with gratitude for all of God's blessings, let us bring our gifts, worship God with our offerings and with song.
And all. Let us remember that life is short, and we have such little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So let us be swift to love and make haste to be kind.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and grant you his peace, now and forever. Alleluia.
Keep us safe in your care.